and Sir Robert really was dead to the world. Singed and grey-faced, where his skin wasn't blacked with soot, his hands torn, his clothes in burned rags, Sir Robert looked exactly what he was, an old man who had been going through hell for days without rest. They tried to lift and carry him between them, but the old war chief was a very heavy man, especially when dead weight. They got a mine cart and wheeled him into the hospital. Johnny got the nurse up, and she examined Sir Robert. He was not injured, except for his hands. She gave him a shot of B-complex, and he never stirred at the punch of the needle. Mr. Tsung and his family were suddenly up and hovering around, and they ran off to get things organized. Shortly, they were giving Sir Robert a bath and trimming the burned areas in his beard and hair so they looked more even. They soon had him in a bed. He had never opened his eyes. Johnny went back to the hospital, where he had left Dunaldine, and found him sitting in a chair, sound asleep, while the nurse changed his face bandages. The burns were not disfiguring. His beard sure was tattered. Johnny stopped the nurse from putting on fresh bandages and called Mr. Tsung's daughter, who came in with her scissors and neatened the Scot by cutting his beard like Johnny's. Johnny had hoped Dunaldine could spell him in ops while he went to look for Stormalong. But Dunaldine was really in no condition to do anything but sleep. Johnny turned him over to the Tsung family, and they gave him a bath and put him to bed.
It sure must be hell up in Edinburgh.
Johnny got on the radio to Russia. They had had several thousand people stuffed into that old base. Smoke or no smoke, some of them must be functional. There were 250 Chinese there from North China. There were the Siberians and the Sherpas. Tinny got some of her own messages in. The rest of the monks and the Buddhist library, the Chinese library, and such things were safe. She had to run out and tell Chong Wan and Mr. Tsung. Late at night it might be in both Tashkent and Edinburgh, but Johnny started shuffling people. The most vital question now was, where was Stormalong? Where was McAdam? The only thing they ever got out of Luxembourg was a girl saying something that sounded like,
"Je ne comprends pas."
And that sure didn't spell Stormalong or the Scot banker. Was he going to have to handle this foreclosure thing with no help? Impossible.